So, welcome to the next edition of the Rare Business Podcast. With me today, I have Mark Smith, who is president of Kitewheel. Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
Hello, Adrian. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Very well. Now, you are based in the US, but you have the dulcet tones of a Brit. So I'd be kind of really interested, and it'd be useful for the benefit of our listeners and readers, Mark, if you could tell us a little bit about you and a bit about the work that you do, and how come you're now in the US enjoying the sun, where here right now in the UK it's kind of grey and overcast and a bit rainy, which is normal, really.
Sure, I'm happy to tell you. It's a 20-year story. But yeah, I'm based in Boston.
Uh-huh.
And I have to admit that the weather is certainly part of the reason that I'm still here. But I grew up in the north of England and in Scotland, in Edinburgh, in fact, and got an opportunity about 20 years ago to come over to Boston to set up an office for a business called Quadstone,
okay.
Which is one of the first players in what these days would, I guess, be called AI. But
right.
We were back then a data mining company.
Mm-hmm.
And I came out to the States with my family to initially for a maximum of 1 year to get an office set up. And for various different reasons over the years, I've stayed here ever since through a succession of different businesses. So that's why Kitewheel's headquarters is here in Boston. We do have an office in London and in New York. But Boston's actually a great place for particularly our business is all focused on helping marketers do a better job. And but at the same time, we're a software company, a technology
right.
business.
Yeah.
And Boston's a great center for both marketing and technology. So
uh-huh.
It's been a really great place to set the business up.
Excellent. Now, I mean, one of the reasons, Mark, that we apart from the fact that you know, you talk about Edinburgh, and I'm from the borders of Scotland. And apart from that sort of like geographical kind of proximity, you know, that's enough of a reason to have a conversation over a podcast anyway. But you've actually just recently done some work and released a report, which is sort of close to kind of my area of interest. It was called the State of the Customer Journey, which I thought that's
yeah.
really interesting. I know I think it's an annualized sort of thing, but it'd be useful if you give me a bit of background on the report and also kind of some of the big things that have come out of it.
Absolutely. Delighted to. Yeah, it's and it is an annual thing. This is the fourth report that we've put together on the state of the customer journey. It's the second one, which is actually based on our own data.
Okay.
And so I'd probably just say a little bit about Kitewheel in terms of what we do as a business.
Yes, please.
We're in the area of customer journeys and executing or running customer journeys for a whole range of different companies, from you know retailers and automotive companies to travel companies and healthcare businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And the customer journey is the new way that businesses think about interacting with their customers, where the focus is on improving the experience for the customer and delivering that experience to the customer across lots of different channels in an ongoing and kind of real-time way, and that's why it's called a journey. So as the customer maybe visits your website and then walks into a store and then is on their mobile phone, they get a very consistent experience from the brand
right.
as they make each of those different interactions. And so what Kitewheel does is help businesses connect those different pieces of the journey together so that they as a business can map out this is how we want our customer experience to run.
Mm-hmm.
This is how we, you know, this is what our customers want from us, and this is how we're going to deliver it across those channels. And so we run that in our software that's based in the cloud, and our engines are constantly listening to the systems of our clients
uh-huh.
And picking up behavior of customers and then guiding them down the next steps in their journey. And so what's that has allowed us to do is collect a lot of data
uh-huh.
on the way businesses are running this kind of experience for their customers.
Okay.
Now, it's totally anonymized, but essentially we now have 4 years' worth of that data.
Right.
That we've collected together. And the report is all an analysis of what are the real trends, what's actually happening, which industries are growing the fastest in terms of using this new approach of the customer journey, which channels are being used, and how do the channels line up with the different industries. And then this year, there was a new section of analysis that was all focused on what we call the use case.
Right.
So what was the business objective that the company was trying to deliver through implementing this customer journey? Was it, you know, one end of the spectrum, it could be we're looking to find new customers and it's an acquisition-driven activity. Or at the other end, maybe it's a loyalty thing and it's all existing customers that who are having their service improved and their loyalty to the business enhanced. So
okay. So a couple of questions on that, if I may, Mark. I mean, you said that the report's been running for 4 years, but this is the second year using your own data. Can you explain to me what you by that? I mean, what happened in the first 2 years?
Well, the second... Yeah. So in this report, so we've got 3 full years of data. So it's 2014, 15, and 16.
Right.
We actually started business during 2013.
Wow, I see.
And our report a year ago had sort of the full data for 14 and 15 in it. And that was the first one with our own data. The other two reports that we've done have been more kind of market research driven reports, where we've had questionnaires to brands and consumers looking for trends in, you know, and differences between the way companies and consumers think about their interactions and that kind of thing.
Okay. And what are the, you know, I mean, I've seen the report, but, you know, and I've got some, you know, some questions and things on it. But I mean, what are the big sort of key findings or the headline findings that you've seen come out of the report in terms of where companies are in terms of this kind of how they're grappling and getting, you know, to coming to terms with the kind of the customer journey?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, so some of the big headlines have been, first of all, just the amount of growth that we saw in 2016 was amazing. I mean, the marketplace feels like it's really kicked into a higher gear in terms of the volume. And so the overall volumes were something like 4 times the year before in terms of the number of journeys that we're tracking. And that growth has been across all the different industries. Every industry we work with went up in terms of their volume.
Okay.
Some of the interesting, not all of the channels went up, so there's some interesting behavior happening in the social area where people are moving from social acquisition strategies to social retention strategies, which has seen a drop in the volume of just broad listening that's going on social channels, which was kind of an interesting trend that we saw.
Okay.
A big part of the growth that we saw in 2016 came from the addition of a new channel in terms of the Internet of Things.
Right.
Where there's a huge huge opportunity there coming, I think, in terms of just the volume of data that comes in from the IoT channel that's now getting made available to companies to actually get, you know, more accurate tracking of the behavior and activities of their customers. So that was a huge part of the big jump in volume that we saw last year. But probably the most interesting thing, I think, is the shift we're seeing towards a richer mix of channels being used for the delivery of the customer journey.
Right.
And, you know, there's sort of a more than doubling. So a typical journey that's been running for, let's say, 3 years with us has more than double the number of channels in use than journeys run in the first 2 years.
Okay.
So we see a real sort of maturity going on in the marketplace as brands, companies get used to using the concept of a customer journey.
Yeah.
They're getting more and more sort of sophisticated in terms of the different channels that they're using, and using multiple channels, so that, you know, the customer really does get kind of surrounded by this great experience.
Yeah.
Because, and it's connected. I mean, that's the thing to me, you know, one of the main reasons that the customer's experience breaks down is when you hear different things from different people or
yes.
different things on different channels. So an offer you get through the mail, when you actually phone up to inquire about it, you find out that it's not available either in the branch or over the phone.
Sure.
Or when you go onto the website, the prices are different than the ones you were offered when you were in the... All those kind of things where the experience breaks down because things are different.
Yes.
Is you know, that's what the having an intelligent, connected customer journey solves those kind of disconnects.
Absolutely.
And what we're seeing is people are adding more and more channels into that connected experience so that the customer doesn't get frustrated
yeah.
and therefore does more business.
Perfect. That's fascinating. And it's good to see that organizations are starting to catch up, to kind of, you know, mature their skills and their understanding and appreciation of this, but also kind of to connect all the dots as well. But there's one thing that I was looking at the report and I wanted to ask you about that sort of stood out to me, and it seems to be, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but is there I think you alluded to it earlier, but is there a shift in terms of attention and focus into the area of retention and loyalty and things about the growing importance of attention and how's that playing out in the journey? I mean, am I right in saying that there seems to be a shift going on?
You're absolutely right. Yeah, absolutely right. So in
2016, hallelujah, I'll just say, by the way.
Well, I know exactly where you're coming from in saying that, Adrian. And it's funny because we for you know all of our 4.5 years in business have done almost all of our business through collaboration with marketing agencies uh-huh. and marketing service providers. So we have always approached the customer journey from a kind of a marketing first perspective.
Uh-huh.
And that I've always felt tends to sort of pull us towards that, the early stages of the customer life cycle. So the early acquisition and lead management type activities
mm-hmm.
to win the customer.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really interesting from our data is to see that, and again, it's tied to the sort of maturity
right.
That's going on with our clients. But yeah, in last year, over 80% of all of the journeys that we're running were actually loyalty and retention centric journeys.
Right.
And those are the ones where there's more channels involved
uh-huh.
and there's a lot more information available about the customer. And so the journey logic can be much richer
right.
and much smarter.
Excellent.
But it's really interesting to see that despite this kind of the marketing push for acquisition focused things,
mm-hmm.
businesses themselves are actually they're definitely putting more investment into those loyalty, retention, and customer service type journeys from our data.
And well, that which is fantastic news, and it's getting great to hear. I mean, are they doing that? Is that reflected in kind of budget switching? Because I mean, I think there's a thumbnail, you know, rule of thumb sort of number which says like 80% of most marketing budgets go on acquisition rather than, you know,
yeah.
rather than kind of retention and loyalty. Are you seeing, you know, from your experience, I mean, I know the report doesn't kind of talk to this, but are you seeing generally that people are starting to shift their priorities as well as their sort of activities?
So I'm not so sure that
okay.
we've seen a big switch in budgets in that way that's sort of, that aligns with that same kind of shift.
Okay.
I think the money is still being spent the same way in most of the people we talk to.
Right.
I think they are the just smarter initiatives are getting underway in that retention space than
right.
are happening in the
okay.
in the acquisition space.
Okay.
And I think it's that. But it's a great point, Adrian, because the budget question, just like the organizational question,
mm-hmm.
is often the biggest barrier for most businesses getting successful at delivering a great customer experience.
Yes.
It's not really a technology challenge these days.
Yeah.
It's much more an organizational type challenge. You've got to get all these different bits of the business to agree to work together. And that's that's often harder than having a piece of software that makes it all happen.
Well, yes. I mean, collaboration is an easy word to say. It's a harder thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So the other thing so it seems that there's some smart initiatives that are getting some traction, but maybe some of the budgeting and organizational sort of dynamics have yet to kind of catch up. And well, maybe there's we have to be hopeful, I think.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, although we've been doing this for 4.5 years, it's still a relatively new market.
Yes.
In terms of the, you know, the big picture of things. We've had an interesting development actually the last kind of, I guess, year or so, but in particular this year, 2017. So not really reflected in any of our data yet.
Mm-hmm.
But we've started now a direct line of business. I mentioned earlier, most of what we do comes through marketing agencies.
Uh-huh.
But this year we've seen a growing number of brands, businesses coming to us directly.
Okay.
And saying, you know, we're interested in having our own customer journey capability.
Right.
That we don't want run by our marketing agency. We actually want it in-house because we think it's about more than marketing.
Sure.
We see this customer journey and the whole customer experience spanning both sides of the business, both the customer service post-purchase activity as well as the upfront marketing to win customers.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is, I think, a real important development. Now, we're only seeing the biggest sort of the biggest brands, the real thought leaders, getting there.
Yeah.
At this point, but I think over the next few years, the main market will follow on a similar track, probably.
Perfect. That's interesting. We'll watch that with some interest. But the other thing, Mark, one of the other things I noticed as well, which is always surprises me, because you know, I bet you and I have been around, I've probably seen it 2 or 3 times where you have had all these different stories or reports that are foretelling the demise of email and how it'll get consigned to the rubbish bin and stuff. And yet email still seems to feature really, really strongly.
Yeah.
And that's coming through from your report as well. And it's still like a really effective communication tool.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, we had incredible growth on the email channel last year. It was like a more than 10 times increase in volume.
Wow.
And what's funny is the year before there were a few stories spun out of our first sort of set of data along the lines of email's not dead.
Yes.
Because we'd seen growth between 2014 and 15. But that growth was way bigger last year. And I think it does show, it's an effective way of communicating with customers.
Mm.
I think in particular, if you make it relevant.
Yes.
Let alone well-timed. And that's the whole nature of the journey, is making it essentially personalized to the customer, so
yes,
relevant, but then also delivering it when it's needed. Not, you know, the whole idea of the customer journey is flipping around the way businesses communicate with customers and changing it from a very sort of programmed batch push communication. You know, we do a newsletter every month on the third Friday and it goes out to every customer.
Yeah.
To a much more interactive, driven, you know, customer-centric type of communication, where when the customer needs it, we're going to send it to them.
Yeah.
And when you do that and you make the content customized to that customer and highly relevant, it's a very successful medium.
Fantastic.
And so embedding email into a customer journey, so you are able to, because it's a great way of knowing that you're going to get a communication to the customer. And if you can solve the problems around making sure it's a relevant and well-timed, it's a great delivery mechanism.
Absolutely. Well, long live, the email is dead, long live email.
That's right.
So let's go back to something you mentioned before in passing, and you talked about sort of social companies listening to social. I mean, what's going on there? I mean, is social still as strong, or is it waning, or kind of what's happening kind of there?
Well, so it's certainly interesting in that the sort of headline number was that we saw a big drop in actual social interactions in 2016. Now, all of that drop was in the use of social, and in particular Twitter, for opportunity finding or lead finding.
Yes.
Where there were, you know, a couple of years ago, in particular, retailers were doing a lot of acquisition programs that just did very broad listening on social media, in particular Twitter, looking for signals that might indicate someone's interested in a product, and then putting in place journeys that followed up that interest and tried to capture the customer. And essentially that channel, I think, has shown to be a very difficult one to make successful. And so we've seen a big shift away from that. And so now some social channels are definitely on the rise. So Facebook in particular, with Messenger and the whole chatbot capability, is growing quite significantly. We've seen some interesting use of Instagram, although that's had a bit of a change this year because Instagram have changed the rules in terms of what data you've got available as a company from that channel. But essentially what's happening is that it's moving from being a broad acquisition tool into being a much more targeted communication vehicle as part of a kind of a richer journey. And so there's still plenty, hundreds of millions of journeys running with social components.
Yeah.
But it's just been used in a smarter way, I think, as part of a multi-channel communication with the customer.
Okay.
Rather than that, what's proven, I think, and we've heard this from lots of clients who've tried those initiatives to just use social to gather new leads. And it's not a very effective. It's very difficult to make that successful and valuable. So we've seen that die away.
And so tell me, does the data that you've collected and the clients that you cover, does it cover both B2C and B2B? And if so, is there any difference in the findings across those two different categories?
Yeah. So we're very dominated by B2C.
Right.
And almost all of our journeys are large-scale B2C companies. Now, we have a couple of B2B clients. One of them is actually, it's such a big B2B instance that it's essentially like a B2C engagement, just in terms of the volumes and so on. And so we don't have a lot of B2B data, but what I would say from the limited data we do have, that we see a lot of similar type of journeys being designed. The key difference is that in the B2B case, there's often a more complex hierarchy in terms of who the communication needs to be with. Because it's a business, there's often not one but multiple people who need to have a communication. Whereas in the B2C space, you're always looking, even though it might be a household, you're really always looking at an individual and a series of communications with an individual.
Okay.
And B2B is a bit more complex than that because what's going on there is within a business, there may be multiple people who need to be communicated with, and that just adds a layer of complexity into the journey.
Okay. So I tell you what, I mean, rather than actually just sort of let's talking about the kind of data and the kind of the findings, I mean, you will kind of work with agencies and then on to kind of clients, but also clients directly. I mean, is it possible for you to give us a couple of examples of companies or brands that are like ahead of these trends, that are leading the pack, as it way, and sort of what they're doing, what sort of results they're seeing? Because I guess that will bring this whole sort of thing to life in terms of some of these trends, but then and also how it's kind of manifesting itself, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'd love to, Adrian. Actually, I'd love to, and we do have a number of end brands, clients that are happy for us to talk about what they do. It isn't always the case, and especially when it's a client of ours through an agency partner, we're not always able to talk about it.
Sure.
But I've got a couple of great examples. So one of our longest running clients here in the US is part of the Nestle Corporation, and it's their Gerber baby foods brand.
Sure.
And I think these guys are one of the real sort of forward-thinking brands in terms of this whole concept of the customer journey. Just because they came to it so long ago, we got involved with them actually in our first year of operation back in 2013. We started working with them, and they had a whole plan to change the way they engaged with their customers, who are essentially young parents with new children, and they provide products obviously that span essentially from birth to 2 years old. Those products, get more and more sophisticated and at some level as the baby gets older.
Yes.
And they have masses of great information and advice on their website and app and through their call center that's available for parents. And what they wanted to do was deliver that to the parent in a sort of logical and engaging way. And so they essentially built a 2-year journey that where they guide the new parent, typically the mom, through a whole series of information and guidance. They collect lots of data back from the mom in terms of the baby's development, but they use that to be able to recommend the next best piece of information, the next video that the mom should watch, and prompt the mom through the key changes as that baby grows up. And the whole program is this, mostly driven through engagement on the website, and it's a rewards-based membership program. So mom earns badges or actual cash rewards, product rewards. There's now a whole kind of chat advisory element to it with a character known as Dorothy, where the mum's able to text in questions and
right.
get real-time responses to them. But that, to us, that's just another channel in this journey, mm-hmm. another piece of information that gives an indicator of what the customer actually cares about, and therefore how to respond to them and how to then take them down that next step. So because some particular question may come up, or we know that the baby is a certain age, that will prompt a communication through the call center or through email with the next piece of relevant, helpful information for the parent and bring them back into that,
okay.
Into the next level of content on the website. So it's a real, sophisticated solution that takes all of their customers through this 2-year journey, constantly giving them advice and help along the way. The great thing about it is the growth in sales that they've seen, and they've now been doing it long enough to be able to measure that, that they've seen almost a 30% growth in the sales the total volume of business they get from the parents who go through that program versus
cool.
parents that don't. So it's been a huge, huge success. So that's one. An example from Europe, did some great work. Again, one of the ones that we're able to talk about is a program we did with the Ford Motor Company.
Right.
That linked together dealership visits, web visits, email communications, and in fact, display advertising. So their paid media advertising activity. And by linking data from all four of those channels and essentially building a program of communication that connects them, so that based on what you say in the dealer, you're going to get certain follow-up emails that will bring you to the website. And then based on what you do on the website, follow-on ads will bring you back in again and bring you back to the dealer to do a test drive and then buy a car.
Mm-hmm.
By connecting it together, they've been able to show that they improve the performance of each of those channels many times over.
Right.
So it's not that there's a sort of, the channels cannibalize each other, but by getting them working together, each channel actually outperforms its normal its normal performance metrics.
Okay.
And so they got things like their paid media performance was 10 times improved in terms of ROI.
Right.
Because it was highly targeted. So they actually ended up paying slightly more to buy the ad opportunities on a CPM basis.
Yeah, yeah.
But the success, the click-through success rate they got was so high that overall they had a 10x ROI improvement from that paid media. And at the same time, they had, I think, something like a 4x on their email responses and a 6x in terms of time spent on the website and engagement on the website. So, again, a great example of by planning out how you want the channels to work together,
yeah,
they were able to get a huge overall improvement and an improvement in each individual channel.
And this is all done almost like it's done in a way that it's all mapped out. It's all done in a very sort of deliberate sort of way, and then probably largely all automated, I would assume.
Well, that's absolutely right. Absolutely right. And it's one of the key things that Kitewheel specializes in is that most businesses already have or invested huge amounts of money in great systems that do the pieces of the puzzle,
yes,
if you like. And so this example of Ford was, they already had a website, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
They already have an email engine. They already have their dealership network. They already have their media, paid media activity.
Mm-hmm.
The key is those things don't always work well together. And so what Kitewheel specializes in is using the existing tools that are there and just providing the logic and the automation, as you say, Adrian, to tie the pieces together. And so we're able to slot in and not require, oh, we need a new email system now, or oh, we need a new website.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we'll just connect with the existing stuff that's already there and just get it to work with the other channels.
Okay.
So we can get started quickly and very low new investment required to be able to get going.
Okay. So, Mark, if we go back to the report and the findings and all of that, mm-hmm. I mean, if you're not in that sort of Ford position or in the sort of the Nestle kind of company position, and you're sort of looking for sort of insights about how you can kind of move forward, I mean, what are some of the lessons or the sort of things that you would recommend for marketeers, CX professionals, leaders, whoever that's listening into this and thinking about it? What would be the big overall lessons or recommendations that you would sort of say to them, go forth and do this?
Right, which is a great question, actually, and very pertinent. I think just yesterday we actually put out a blog on our website about exactly this topic, funnily enough.
Okay.
Which is what are the, how to get started early. And so, and we spend a lot of time advising people on that because, just again, back to it, it's such an early stage market that most people are very much in that position you describe, Adrian. They've heard a lot of talk about, mm-hmm. It's all about customer experience, and they've probably heard a lot of talk about customer journeys being a way of improving the customer experience. But most people just are pretty stuck on how do I get going. And our recommendation there is you should keep it simple.
Yeah.
So start with a one or two channel initial kind of pilot. Focus that on something where you know you've got a business problem that's going to deliver real value back. So, we actually have a strategy team that would help a client map out different potential opportunities and map them out in terms of which ones could deliver quickly and which ones are going to be the most valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And then figure out how can real time help? Because really that the key art to the customer journey is that it's about delivering something in real time back to the customer when they need it at the moment that they're interacting that often is the difference maker.
Yeah.
And so how can adding in a real time capability help with the delivery of that business value? And then let's pilot it. And again, by you know, deliberately doing this with existing systems rather than re-architecting or retooling, mm-hmm. you can get results out of those things quickly and then start to expand from there. And that's the whole beauty of the kitewheel approach is we make it very easy to slot in and add in additional channels. And so as your maturity improves and you see the results coming in, you can expand from two channels to three,
mm-hmm.
And just add in extra logic to handle, well, what happens if the customer goes and, you know, calls a call center rather than uses the website? Well, let's now handle that option in the journey. And
yep.
it becomes this, you know, growing capability within the business to manage all of the customer interactions.
Perfect. Well, thank you for the reference. I'll make sure I get that all kind of linked up. And I think it was, the blog is kind of, I just looked it up actually, and the blog is called How to Get Started yep. with Customer Journeys Without Being Overwhelmed.
There you go.
And I shall kind of make sure that gets that gets
yeah.
linked up in the highlights as well.
Brilliant.
But Mark, so is there anything that we've missed out from the report that you'd like to highlight before I ask you kind of a couple of final questions?
No, I think we've given it pretty good coverage actually.
Excellent. So, well, thank you for that. And now I come to my two final questions and. The last one is the one I've asked for, oh, I don't know how long now, because I'm at over 230 different interviews, but it's like my end question. It's like a big flourish at the end. But the one I've added, the penultimate one is sort of my piece of ongoing sort of market research since I published a book last year called How to Wow. And since it came out,
mm-hmm.
I've been asking everybody that I've spoken to on these interviews for their perspective on what does wow service or experience mean to them. And so I'd be interested to get your take on that.
Yeah. Well, we could do a whole other podcast on that. So a wow experience. So I actually feel very strongly that is it's all about giving the customer what they want. And that's the key to success, I actually think, in kind of any business.
Sure.
Now, of course, you've got to know what they want.
Yes.
And you've got to be ready for it. That's where analytics and the whole kind of customer journey analytics approach comes in. It's being prepared. You know, it's not about trying to make the journey what we want the journey to be as a business.
No.
It's about knowing that the customer's in charge of the journey. And we just need to know what they want, and then we can provide it. And if we're there at the right time and on the right channel and give them what they're looking for, you're going to be successful.
Sure.
And so, and it's that, and one of the big things that's difficult for most companies and for many marketeers is making that mind shift to flipping it around to being about the customer, not about you.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, you and your great product that you just have to push it out there and everybody's going to buy it. It's about realizing that the world has totally changed. Everybody's experience driven by smartphones and always on, always available information is that, you know, people go get what they want,
sure.
not what you are offering them. And it's that flipping around is a difficult thing for marketers. But the ones that get it right are starting to do some amazing things. I actually have had a couple of wow-type experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Now, relatively simple. But maybe that shows where my mindset is in terms of how these things wowed me. But I have, so one example, which just a couple of weeks ago, I actually took a photograph of it at home. I was so amazed by it. But I had a piece of direct mail delivered to my house from the pharmacy I have their loyalty program.
Yeah.
So the UK equivalent would be Boots.
Uh-huh.
And they obviously have been collecting data on my purchases for a long time, but that morning I had mentioned to my wife that we were out of a certain product.
Right.
And that evening I got home from work and there was a direct mail piece and it was personalized. It said, "Hey Mark," so they'd got the personalized printing in, and it said, "Hey Mark, time to stock up on." And it was exactly the product that I'd mentioned to my wife this morning we were out of. And with a little $3 coupon to get a discount if I went.
Yeah, now see, I mean,
I
there's part of me that was thinking, are they bugging my house?
That's right. It's right. No, I guess I believe it's down to their analysis of the data, and they see me buying this product regularly,
yeah.
And they've seen that I haven't bought it for in the time period, and therefore I must be up. Obviously, totally coincidental, it was the same day.
Yes.
But it was one of those kind of wow things, and it was like, wow. Now, I'm kind of with you as well, Adrian. I'm always a bit suspicious of the big brother who's listening to what yes. going on. And my second example plays to that exactly, and is a slightly more spooky one,
uh-huh.
which was I just came back from vacation and a lovely time in Italy, and we were walking along the coast there. And so I bought myself a new pair of very light kind of walking shoes to
right.
do this because, you know, it wasn't really mountaineering. It was just kind of cruising along these rocky paths along the coast. And so I bought a pair of these things before leaving. And a couple of days later, I got an email. So the things I actually bought were trail running shoes.
Right.
And I got an email from Airbnb with a list of great vacations to do trail runs about 2 days later. And it gave me a whole bunch of Airbnb locations where people were renting their house out that were close by famous trail runs. Now, that started to get me a little bit suspicious of there's maybe a tie-in between the retailer and Airbnb.
Yeah.
Or maybe just through my web searches for that particular product, that had been sold to Airbnb to use as a... But such a targeted campaign was what kind of surprised me. That was the wow factor.
Yeah.
Was, wow, they are doing such targeted stuff that they're identifying people with particular sporting interests, linking that to their product of renting other people's houses to go and partake in that sporting activity. Quite interesting and quite... made now both very marketing driven things rather than customer service driven things. But it's showing the way data is being used in a kind of a ever more intelligent way to deliver better and better in terms of what people want. And that, again, that's what it's all about. We all get so fed up of receiving totally pointless things through mail
sure.
or in our email box that just don't fit.
Yeah.
That when someone gets it really bang on right, you go, wow.
Yeah, yeah. It's, I mean, I think there's, I mean, go back to kind of something that you said before. You talked about something just being simple or a little thing, and that maybe that speaks to your mindset. And actually, I think I'm actually with you. I think kind of sometimes simple, timely, contextual, and thoughtful things are mm-hmm. the most powerful. You don't need to kind of dress it up.
Yeah.
You just have to do
yeah.
the right things
yeah.
at the right time.
Yeah.
But with kind of
yeah.
care and thought and insight and things, and then they can make the biggest difference.
Yeah. Yeah. It, you know, it reminds me a little bit, Adrian, of the, back a few years ago now, when Amazon started to do things like, if they know that you've got certain favorite authors,
yes.
they give you a heads-up email when the new book is coming out by that author. And
mm-hmm.
then there's just a little button at the bottom that says pre-order now.
Yes.
Which, if it's one of your favorite authors, I tend to do. And it's just, you know, it's just simple, making it easy.
Yeah.
So,
exactly
as you say.
Right. So, Mark, that brings me to my final question that I always ask.
Right.
Is this, is there anything that you would like to shamelessly plug?
Obviously Kite Wheel,
mm-hmm.
As the, you know, the leaders in actually delivering on this whole concept of the customer journey.
Mm-hmm.
We have a, you know, fantastic solution that helps brands just get going using their existing tech, but starting to change it from being all centered around this touch point and that touch point and this channel to a real connected experience for the customer. And I think it's going to be the biggest game changer for most B2C businesses over the next few years, is those that get that right
yeah.
and can, you know, be like the that small handful of people who currently get it right. I mean, all the data says that, you know, less than 1% of businesses deliver a great customer experience.
Yeah.
The next 5% that really get there and start doing it are going to make a fortune. Perfect. And I hope they all use Kitewheel technology to help them.
There you go.
Is that a good shameless plug?
That's not bad, Mark. That's not bad at all. So, Mark, thank you for that. That's been kind of fascinating. Congratulations on your success and also the kind of the rapport, the success of the business, but also the success your clients are having, but also the rapport and being open to sharing your words and kind of insights and experience kind of with us. I mean, yeah, thanks again. That's been great.
Yeah. Great, Adrian. Absolutely. From my side too. Thanks very much for the invite. I'm very happy to.